Elijah. This is our text. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, our living Lord and Savior, I'm pretty sure I can say that we have all experienced it. We have all experienced those times when life is going fantastic and everything is going well and we are experiencing a wonderful high in life, but then it's usually followed by an extremely depressing low. Highs followed by lows. And I can use the example of, you know, just last week we had the opportunity to share the gospel with more than 100 young people 5 days in a row during vacation Bible school. And I'll tell you, these kids were all in. They were listening to their lessons, they loved their art projects, they played their wonderful games. Even when we had to be in the basement because it was raining, they were enjoying it and getting into it. And then, of course, they sang their hearts out. And so the climax was last Saturday when we had more than 260 people here in church for our Saturday night 5 o'clock service. And I know it was a little bit noisy. I know there were some people here who didn't know how to conduct themselves during worship. But you know what? We were sharing the Word of God with them. And for some of those parents, I am sure that it is the only time, it was the one Sunday all year that they would set their foot in a church and hear the Word of God, hear about the love of God, hear about how Jesus died on the cross for them. And so it was a great opportunity, and it was a great week. But then I came into the office this last Monday, and there's like 5 people in the building. And it was so quiet here in the building. And while I was about doing the Lord's work, it just didn't have the excitement that it did the week before. I mean, I missed the 100-plus kids singing their hearts out. I missed sharing gospel stories and silly pastor jokes with my 13 sixth graders. We had such a wonderful high week during vacation Bible school, and it was followed by a quiet, almost depressing, what I would call a normal summer week. The most depressing part, I'll tell you, was coming into the building yesterday evening, getting ready for worship yesterday, and seeing that all of Mission Central was gone. It was like all the evidence that we had ever had a vacation Bible school was gone. And so you see, that's what I've seen many times in my life. When you have one of these exciting spiritual highs, it is usually followed with a quiet, depressing low. And it's not just us in our lives. We see the same thing happening in our Old Testament lesson for today. And we find it happening in one of the greatest prophets ever, the only prophet who was blessed enough to be taken directly up into heaven without seeing death. He experienced a spiritual and emotional low, and it comes after experiencing 2 wonderful spiritual highs. You have to go back from 1 Kings 19 to 1 Kings 18. And what you'll see in 1 Kings 18 is Elijah battling it out with 450 prophets of Baal. So it's 1 against 450. And what he does is he proposes a contest. Both sides will build an altar. Both sides will put a sacrifice on the altar. Both sides will pray to their God. And the one side that has fire, set that on fire, then they will win. And so Elijah has the prophet to Baal go first. And they build the altar, and they put wood on the altar, and they put the sacrifice on the altar. And then they call out to Baal, and they dance around the altar. They even cut themselves so that they bleed. And this goes on from morning till afternoon till evening, when Elijah finally says, no, now it's my turn. And so Elijah builds his altar using 12 stones, obviously representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And he puts wood on the altar, and then he puts the sacrifice on the altar. And then he calls the prophets of Baal, or the people around there, to pour water on the sacrifice. Not once, not twice, but three times. They pour so much water on there that everything is soaked, and there's a trench around the altar, and it is completely filled with water. If you and I were going to try to set that wood on fire, it would never happen. Well, then, Elijah prays. He prays to God to set that altar on fire. And when he does, fire comes down from heaven. And it eats up the sacrifice. It eats up the wood of the sacrifice. It eats up the stone of the sacrifice. It licks up every single drop of water in the whole thing, even on the trench. And there is basically nothing left after God sends that fire down from heaven. So Elijah experiences an amazing, amazing victory, but it's not just a victory for him. It is a victory for the one true God. So after that, Elijah takes those 450 prophets of Baal, and he has the people grab them and take them by the river, and he has them all put to death. And Elijah is hoping for reform. He is hoping for a reformation. Now that those prophets of Baal are gone, now we can get back to worshiping the one true God. And so God takes King Ahab up on top of Mount Carmel. And you got to understand, it hasn't rained for 3 years because Elijah said to stop the rain, because God said, you're not following me, so you're going to have a drought. There's not going to be any rain. And it hasn't rained for 3 years, so Elijah takes Ahab up on top of Mount Carmel, and he prays. He prays 7 times. And finally, out over the Mediterranean Sea, a small cloud arises. The text says it's the size of a man's hand. And Elijah tells Ahab, you better get in your chariot and take off, because it's going to rain. And eventually, that small little cloud turns into a big old huge cloud. And it rains like they have never seen before. Rain comes down. It soaks everything. And Elijah is convinced that a reform is going to happen in the northern kingdom. Well, Ahab gets back home, and he tells Jezebel, his wife, everything that Elijah has done. And Jezebel says, if Elijah isn't dead before this time tomorrow, may God do to me what he did to those 450 prophets of Baal. And Elijah is stunned. Elijah leaves the northern kingdom and heads down to the southern kingdom. He ends up in Beersheba. He leaves his assistant there in Beersheba, and he travels for 40 days and 40 nights down to Mount Sinai. And that's where we find him in our text for today. And finally, when he gets to Mount Sinai, after not hearing a word from God for the last 40 days and 40 nights, God finally asks him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah pours his heart out. He is down and he is depressed and he doesn't understand what's going on. And so he just pours his heart out. And he says, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've thrown down your altars. They've killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I, only am left. And they seek my life to take it away." You should look at that complaint in your text, in your worship folders. And you'll notice something. Elijah only mentions God once, but he mentions himself four times. So he is not focused on God and what God can do and what God does do, what God has done for him, but he's focused on himself and what he has done. "I have been very zealous for the Lord." Well, God has a way to correct this. And so he's got something very special planned for Elijah. Like he did for his servant Moses, God is going to pass by Elijah. And so God sends a very strong wind that tears up the mountain. But guess what? God isn't in the wind. And then God sends an earthquake that shakes up that whole entire mountain. But guess what? God is not in the earthquake. And then, like he did with the 450 prophets of Baal, he sends fire down on the mountain, but God is not in the fire. But finally, God sends the sound of a low, quiet whisper, and God is in the whisper. And Elijah wraps his face in his cloak, and he goes out to the entrance of the cave, and the voice of God comes to him and again asks him that very same question. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" To which Elijah gives the very same answer. And so the question for us becomes, why did God send the wind? Why did God send the earthquake? Why did God send the fire if he wasn't in them? I mean, God is, and God is God. And he can and does use extraordinary means to get his work done. He used that fire from heaven to set that sacrifice on fire so that those 450 prophets of Baal could be killed. I mean, God used an incredible worldwide flood to destroy a bunch of sinful human beings and to save Noah and his family, 8 souls in all, in the ark. So why wasn't God in the wind or the earthquake or the fire? God comes to Elijah in the low whisper to emphasize the fact that God normally works through his word. We heard in our lesson today, and we see it time and time again in the Old Testament, the statement that the word of the Lord came to Elijah, or the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, or the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Normally, God works through his word. I mean, just think about it. It was God's word that brought this wonderful world into existence. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God's word is powerful. God's word accomplishes some amazing things. I mean, in the New Testament, specifically in the book of John, chapter 1, we are told even that Jesus is the Word, and He became flesh and dwelt among us. And it is that Jesus that died on the cross for you and has won salvation and eternal life for you. So God did it through His Word. So while seeing a strong wind, or experiencing an earthquake, or seeing fire come down from heaven is amazing and tremendous, God's voice in a low whisper is even more amazing and accomplishes so much more. So while our week of vacation Bible school with more than 100 students here participated, 70 volunteers helping out, it was absolutely amazing. But the reason it was amazing is because we were sharing God's word. We were in God's word. We were studying God's word. We were singing God's word. In those songs. And while this week was a little bit down, I have been in God's word each and every day. Started Monday when I was preparing the worship folders. Tuesday when I was preparing for Bible study on Wednesday. Wednesday when I was teaching that Bible class. And then Thursday as I was writing this message. Friday and Saturday as I was practicing it. Being in God's Word is the most important part for Christians. And so whether you're having a good week or a bad week, the best advice I can tell you is to be in God's Word. Open up your Bible. Open up a Portals of Prayer and just spend a few minutes reading a devotion. You can go to BibleGateway.com and you can click on a pat and you can listen to God's Word there. But get yourself in God's Word. Come to our Wednesday morning or evening Bible class, or go to Bible class somewhere else. It doesn't matter. Being a Christian is all about being in God's Word. Now, I can't promise that you're not going to have those highs and lows in life if you're in God's Word. I mean, if Elijah has those big highs and lows, then it's bound to happen for us as well. But if you're in God's Word, God will walk with you through those highs and lows. And He will carry you through those highs and lows. And in the end, well, we know the rest of the story. We are all going to be with God in heaven. The point is, God's word is effective. God's word is powerful. God's word is creative. And God's word is just totally amazing. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all of our human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.